My bad. All right, look, man. Let me
what's
just
been,
start.
Why don't you fill everybody in on what's been happening over the past few weeks?
All right. Okay. Well, let's go one step backwards. So last Monday, I got sick.
Unacceptable.
And I was unexpected and unacceptable. But my oldest daughter, who never gets sick, finally got caught something, which passed it down to me and my youngest daughter. My wife escaped, nice. But I did not. Did not escape it. So my bad, y'all. And the week before, I had to work.
I don't think I ever remember you being sick since I've known you.
Man, I get like tonsillitis every year.
Oh, okay.
And that hasn't happened since COVID.
I think we made an agreement shortly after we met each other to never talk about each other's tonsils. So that's probably where that kicked in.
There. I didn't.
I don't know.
I didn't even think of anything to go with that.
I mean, I don't think I have the signed documentation, but I'm pretty sure we came to an agreement in principle.
Fair enough. But I talked about it on the show before, annually. I mean, literally like clockwork, late November, early December. Every year since as long as I can remember, I would get tonsillitis.
So now I'm doing it. Have you, when you're a kid, don't they remove your tonsils if that happens?
Unless
to you?
They absolutely have to.
Oh, okay. Is that like an old wives' tale kind of thing? Like old school kind of thing?
I don't know. I don't know what the reasonings are. I think like if you get strep throat a lot or something like that, but doctor never felt any need. Matter of fact, I remember I got it so bad, I think the year before COVID, either that or 2 years before, did I ask the doctor, like, yo, do we just take these things out? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, nah, man, it's too late. And it ain't worth it. It's not that big of a deal. You suffering, but it ain't that bad.
he says, sack up.
Yeah, basically. Man, G up, man. Anyway, and the week before that, I had to work. So, really, man, we have not had Rapsox Radio because of Trek Light. And we almost didn't have it tonight because of me, but I got the topics together. And y'all can be like, man, I don't know what you was on, but...
I got to eat, so I'm feeling better now.
Good, man, good. You're not yourself when you're hungry, man.
Nope. Some would say that's the real me.
The starving Kev?
just anger.
That's not my experience, but
rage. Unmitigated rage.
For like what, 5 years of working together, we would just basically eat, drink, and an occasion smoke. And so I don't think I ever met hungry Kevin. get longer than that, but I'm talking during the pressing of the records. But anyway, Kev, opening question.
Okay.
Why the hell are we still doing daylight saving?
No idea. I'm not sure. Are we farmers? What's going on?
Right?
I don't know
any farmers.
If farmers
are alive, we don't need it no more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the thing, right? At some point, wasn't that the
some
the
years
reasoning?
Ago? It was that was the reasoning. But now it's like, and now is this the funny thing? Have you seen this where like now it's a big conservative thing to keep daylight saving?
Oh, really?
Like the libs and the woke people want to get rid of it.
Oh, I had a feeling.
Dude.
You know.
Are we doing this for everything now?
Yeah.
Like, it's like everything is.
It's a conspiracy, man. It's like a plandemic.
Right?
Daylight savings time.
People. So crazy.
Why do I have a feeling, though, that the people who are saying that that we should keep it are the people who show up an hour late to everything anyway?
Anyway. Check it out, man. Not only remember DJing on daylight saving, like, or having to rock a club or anything during daylight saving.
Yes, but for a different reason than why. What's your memory of it? I'm very interested in this.
Oh, what's my memory of it? Saturday.
So wait, did the club stay open an extra hour here?
No. Well, no, because it doesn't move. No, it didn't.
Because it's officially moves at 2 o'clock, right? 2 a.m., I think.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so it officially moved forward at 2. So I was going to explain that.
So you're just saying that you had an hour less sleep, so you were tired the next morning?
Correct. Because I had my daughter had a 9 a.m. game.
Yeah. Because New York was like, no, you're working an extra hour. And then I think I worked for one place that, you know, it was like, all right, I see what you're doing. Whatever. You're a jerk. Nobody's going to be here past 3 a.m., what was formerly, you know, 4 a.m. anyway. But then, you know, you'd get it back on the other side of the year, like places where I had a residency, right? Like, so, you know, one Saturday a year, I would get, you know, get off an hour early or whatever, right?
Yeah,
which is like, again, not that big of a deal. There's nobody here anyway.
Right.
But
right.
Then I think the last place I worked at, they stayed open anyway. Like it was, they got me coming and going.
I thought, so I used to be, man, it's such a contrast between young Trek and old Trek.
Not really.
I love it, man. That's why I do this show with you. Because it's like, also, I did used to fall asleep in the actual club right next to the speaker. Like, yo, entertain me. If I'm not entertained, I'm going to sleep. Otherwise. But no, I remember on a fallback, the club didn't respect the fallback. So we basically ended at 1.
Okay.
I remember AD was very specific for that. Level 3. Yeah, almost all LA clubs that I worked at, basically like, nah, 2 is 2. It's the 2, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then Spring Forward, it started at 2 o'clock. So it was basically a regular night. You know, it's just that you would
be, get home
like,
an hour later.
I looked at the clock when I got home and I was like, it is 3:30 in the morning. No.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I had to be up in a couple hours. So,
yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not happy with the farmers, though.
No, man. It's like, yo, what are we doing, man? And I know that there was a vote. And California had a vote. And then we didn't follow through because we didn't want Trump to be weighed in on it. And then he was gone. So I was like, oh, we doing this now. And they didn't do anything. I'm like, yo.
Because aren't there some places in this country that don't change
the clock? Okay. So let me think. I think Arizona doesn't. Hawaii doesn't.
Okay.
Those are the two off the top of my. I think Arizona doesn't. Matter of fact, I kind of want to look it up while we're on.
I don't even know how that would work, though. So if you're in the same time zone as Arizona and you just go from another state into Arizona, you have to change your half of the year.
All right, so the two states that don't do daylight saving, Arizona. I was right, Arizona and Hawaii.
Yeah,
those are the two that don't.
Okay,
with the exception of the Navajo Nation. So the Navajos actually do it. there you go, man. I would have won some type of trivia award.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you know, it's the least of my worries, to be perfectly frank.
So you didn't have any issue getting up or going back? It's like no big deal for you.
I'm a machine, man. Half man, half amazing.
Hey, man. You think this was a typo. Academy Awards were this weekend, right?
That's right. Yesterday.
And I have here written for you specifically, the Academy Award, not rundown, fun down.
Ooh. We're getting the puns out of the way real early. You've had some pun buildup over the last 3 weeks. Is that what's going on?
It's me and some NyQuil just figuring this thing out, man.
Big pun. All
right, anything I should know, man? Because you know I didn't watch. It didn't even know it was on until like, oh, that happened? Whatever.
All I know is that nobody got punched or slapped. So, you know.
No comedians were harmed in the production of this Academy Award?
Not directly. Kimmel hosted, and at some point, during the show, the former president posted something goofy about his performance. So he read it on stage. That was about the most remotely violent or rude thing that happened.
Got it. Well, yeah. I know I saw that Elon Musk said it was woke.
Oh, word? Who would expect that from Hollywood?
He is going to lose it.
Yeah. You don't see me going down to the gun range and selling rainbow cotton candy. It's like, you know, you got to know what you're...
He's not going to read the room. He's not going to make it, man. He goes to sleep like, woke. He wakes up like, I'm not awake. There's no way I'm awake. Like, he is suffering right now. Like, it is. I almost feel bad for the dude. Like, you are really under pressure right now.
Yeah, man. What? Go figure out how to knock the rust off of them trucks.
Yeah, like, you got other stuff to do. Chill out. You know what I'm saying? didn't your company lose like $20 billion? Like, yo, go to sleep, fam. Like, get some rest, man. You be all right. You got Zuckerberg looking good, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, in fairness, he's no Bezos anymore. So I saw that. I was like, that had to hurt. That had to hurt a lot.
He's like, it's weird. That man is, wow, yo. It's like watching, like, the kid, right? The kid at school. Mm-hmm. Who gets to his senior year or junior year and is Ivy League material. Like, let's say his name is Robert. He's dominating. People are like, Robert is smart. You know what I'm saying? And then Robert just becomes a Crip. Like, yo, Robert, what are you doing, Robert? Like, whoa, why'd you join them of all things to do? That's like basically what Elon Musk is doing with the whole like anti-woke thing. It's like, yo, you were fine. And then you just needed those friends so bad that now, yeah.
You know, very weird. Failed. But the only difference is that he joined a fictional gang,
right? At least the Crips are real. Okay.
I mean, you know, I don't know how much we can expect from the country that brought us apartheid. But then again, I don't think we're that much better. So hey,
from the brinkers of apartheid,
from the good people who brought you apartheid.
Hey, dude, how familiar are you with Rob Swift?
Oh, that's my man.
That's your man, right? Good dude.
Good dude.
Really good dude, right?
Every so often he yells at people who don't know enough about hip-hop, and I'm like, oof.
That's fine.
But he does it in a very nice way, in a very eloquent way.
Rob Swift on Threads. I didn't mean to talk about this, but I have to ask you this.
Okay.
All right? Rod Swift posted a video and had a bit of back and forth with some people who replied to it about how race is a social construct that we've bought into. Right? Now, people immediately jumped on that. In part, it's kind of what he was saying. Is like, if you're dealing with like racism, it's because you've accepted this social construct. Other than that, you would be fine, right?
Mm-hmm. I saw him post something and I started reading it and I was like, I'm not going to read this. Because,
Kev.
But it seemed like a fairly, you know, like an academic argument about.
He tried. Mm. He tried. It's if I had the Bart Simpson gif with the cake, he doesn't. He tried it.
All right.
Look, Rob's a good dude. I met him several times. Nice guy. Isn't everything technically a social construct? Like, money's a social construct, right? It's like. These are all things that we've accepted in a society where they don't necessarily need to exist, right? Like,
well, I can. This is the thing. I'm not willing to have this conversation with pretty much everybody. But since you brought it up, what was he saying though? So it's a social construct. Because the thing is that sometimes people say that, and I think I know how Rob feels about the world generally. I could be wrong.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
This is why I brought this to you, because I need a clarification.
But I do. The thing is that there are times when people who, and again, I'm not saying this is him, but there are people who do racist shit that then say race is just a construct as a defense. Sure.
Yep.
Which is just, you know, it's like, really? You couldn't just say that you screwed up and said something stupid? It's like, why don't you just shut up instead? But I'm assuming that's not what he was getting at.
I'm not sure what he was trying to say. Mm. It waffled because people reacted to the video that he posted, which had some sort of like, it's sort of like one of those things where somebody says something smart, but in the middle of it, they have to say you're stupid. This is a big social media thing, right? Like, yeah. I'm noticing that like no one can just end a sentence and leave it at that. It's like, I don't know, sports. Let's use sports, for example. You'd be like, yo, you know, LeBron James is a good player, but, you know, people are too stupid and don't know. And it's like, yo, just, he's a good player. Like, stop. Like, you don't know. 7 billion people on the planet, man. Like, you don't know any. Right. You know, like 12. Chill out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the video sort of alluded to that. Like, people are falling for racism because they're accepting the social construct. But I'm like, I mean, yeah, sure. That's fine. But the reality is, like, nobody wants to experience it. You know what I'm saying? And also, what do you say to a person who has experienced racism or has not been able to gain due to discrimination? And also, what do you say about a legal system that has been, you know, largely undermined by this social construct of racism? And lastly, like, what do you say to the families of the people who were killed by Dylann Roof? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you say to Trayvon Martin's family? Like, what do you say to those? No, it's just contract. You tripping. It's like, yo.
Mm.
Stuff is actually happening, though. You know what I'm saying? I get that we want to be like, yo, we're done. It's like the people who say, I don't see color. I understand what you're trying to do, but you're wrong about it. Like, you're going about it all wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or at the very least, I can tell you right off the bat that there are a few things that if we continue this conversation, I'm going to disagree with you on. You're going to have to be okay with that. Or we can stop talking right now.
Let's go.
And I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of how I would approach that conversation. Because it's, and I didn't read it, so I don't even want to try and guess at what he was at or saying or why he was saying it. But yeah, like the I don't see color, it's like, okay. But you know other people do, right? A lot of other people do. Even if they say they don't, sometimes they do. And it's not always a good, you know, it's not, you may be saying it thinking that what you're saying is a positive thing and, you know, you're colorblind, you treat everybody the same. Great. It's not the case for everybody, you know.
Listen, if you need to blind yourself to difference to accept others, you are also in the wrong.
Hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
As opposed to embracing the difference?
As opposed to embracing the fact that people are different and I, regardless of whether this person looks different, is from a different background, eats different foods, dances different dances, listens to different music, whatever thing, it does not matter to me. A person is a person, right? Mm-hmm. So the reality is it shouldn't be I don't see color. It should be I see color and essentially, I embrace that. I embrace color, right? So those are two different concepts. One of them is like when people say, we should just all have mixed babies so that it's like, okay, so we should have babies that you're comfortable looking at. Like, is that what we're doing here? Like, that's not how the world works. You know what I mean? Or world should work. So it's like when someone is almost right, it's like, damn, you almost had the answer, but you just stopped right at the, you know what I mean? And that's where I am with the whole race as a social construct thing. Like, you're absolutely right. You know what I'm saying? You are absolutely right. We are human beings who have decided that difference, you know, but there is difference, though. Let's be very clear. We don't all look the same. We're not all from the same backgrounds. We're not all, right? How we decide to function with that information becomes the construct. Right. Not the fact that, right? Mm-hmm. White and black are not real things. You know what I'm saying? They're not nationalities or whatever. That's a decision that wasn't made by black folks as far as we know, right? But again, the legalities that were put in place from the beginning of this country's inception and other countries that have that we've been beholden to and fighting against, you know, many civil liberties battles, they go beyond the idea that looking at each other is the problem.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can buy and do buy that this is something that human beings came up with for whatever purpose. We can say insidious. Generally, it's insidious, but whatever. But what I can't buy is that you're tripping if you see it, if you are, you know, dealing with race under any other circumstances. It's like, yo, nah, this is not Plymouth Rock. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Let me kind of close. Let me not close out, but I also want to add this thought, because a lot of times when you're discussing race or discrimination or things of that nature, what people say is like, get over it, or don't let that get, you know, look. And it's like I've said before to other people when they say that to me. I ain't tell you I wasn't succeeding. I'm telling you what it's like to succeed as me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I never said it's impossible. I said that if one door is open, that it's improbable for a larger group. You know what I'm saying? So the fact of the matter is, if you have to legally allow civil rights, then there's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a battle for, you know, the big woke answer, fight thing is now everybody's against diversity and inclusion, right? Mm-hmm. But what they're not getting is that had to happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's going back and going, yo, every general civility that has been fought for in this country has had to be legally, like, ratified in order for people to follow. Just going to the same school. That's like being, you know what I'm saying? The ability to live in a home, have access to a home. This is post-World War II, right? All of these things had to be fought for. So if you're really thinking about these things as a construct, and that the people who have suffered or have had to alter their lives or existence to deal with these things, work twice as hard, be twice as kind, avoid twice as many microaggressions, whatever. If we're now the problem, then you're wrong.
Yeah. And
I'm not sure he's saying that, by the way. I'm just saying, you know.
And this is the thing, is that not all DJs are the smartest people in the world.
Of course.
Rob is one of the greatest DJs in the world. He's also a fairly well-read, you know, soft-spoken dude who is someone who will listen and someone who shows, at least in my experience, a decent level of thoughtfulness about just general, you know, aspects of life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's a nice guy, too. He's like, you know, like I don't think I've ever seen Rob be like just straight up a jerk to somebody.
The way that he dealt with people in the comment section was extremely kind, in spite of the fact that people were on fire. So I'm not saying anything about Rob Swift. I'm just saying, like, you know.
This is the thing, though, is in this is my position on just, which is a long, could be a 3-hour conversation, but I think human nature, anywhere on this planet, for some reason, and I'm not confused by it. Like, I think naturally seek out similarities and differences among people. That's the most gentle way I could put it, right? And a lot of times we gravitate to people who we think are similar to us, and most of us are very superficial. We gravitate based on, you know, superficial qualities, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, and if you know, kind of try and do better than that, be less superficial, maybe you're gravitating toward people, you know, who maybe they don't look at you, look like you, maybe they don't have the same religious belief system that you do, maybe they don't have come from the same background you do, or have, you know, come from the same you know, type of upbringing that, that you have, you just gravitate. Like for me, I gravitate to people who look any of a number of different ways, tall, short, Buddhist, Christian, Catholic, Muslim. The tie that binds most, binds me to most of the people that I enjoy spending time around is that we're all assholes. So, and I don't know if that's the right answer, but I think as humans, we tend to do that. The thing I have never understood is why, and obviously not all folks who we consider white Americans are racist. Most of them are not. But if you take the general group of people who most people, whether they're, you know, people of color or white folks would say, yeah, those a couple white guys over there. Most of the that group, they should be thanking us. Black folks, Asian folks, Latino folks for being here. Because we took all the heat off you. If it was just you guys, the Irish folks, the Jewish folks, guess what would still be happening to you that was happening in the 1800s? Italian folks, come on. What, you think you would have had it as easy as you have it now? No. So, you know.
It would have been beef.
Yeah, they would have, because that's what we do as human beings. I mean, look, I'm Japanese, and I'm fourth generation Japanese, so I don't have a lot of East Asian history at you know, my beck and call mentally, but I know that we're not the ones that you want to be when you go. Just drop into Central Asia and be like, hey, Japan's here. Like, nah, you're going to need to give us a couple decades on that, buddy.
Look, and this is an interesting thing. We haven't gotten to the break. I think we just going to skip the break because we already 20-something and 30 minutes into the show. But this is the way it's come down for me. This is years and years and years, whatever. What I learned was all of my biases were reactionary. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I went into every situation because my childhood wasn't particularly difficult. Like, or I didn't learn a lot of things as a child that would prepare me to dislike other people, right? My parents taught me a little differently than I found that other people have experienced, right? I also didn't learn my history under certain, I don't want to say that. Because I don't want people to get on me. Like, the way I learned my history was from a positive standpoint, right? Like, so let me just leave it at that. Because it might sound offensive to some people, and I don't want to be like that. Like, nah, the negatives were there, but you know, I learned it a little more triumphantly, in a sense, right? So I never really felt. I understand because I can think of when I moved to West Covina, particularly, and started going to school, like how being. I think we talked about this on the show several times, like being the black kid in the class when you're reading Huckleberry Finn or mm-hmm. To Kill a Mockingbird as a group and how fun it is for them to say hard R and look at you all or like, you know, like you open your history book and it's like pictures of your people hanging and then like Martin Luther King and then like that's the end of the history. You know what I'm saying? I understand like that I had a bit of a different sort of initial exposure so I could come out to the world and be like, yo, what up? You know, I'm good. How are you? Right. But the pushback was what turned me like F them folks. Now I became an adult and now I see the world differently. You know what I'm saying? I see the world on an individual basis and that's about it. I do still see that obstacles exist for different people in different situations. And that's because of whether we call it human nature or what is current nature to divide so that opportunities exist for one group over the other, right? And I'm being real, like, measured. But But what I guess what I'm trying to get at is, I don't understand what's so hard about understanding that people suffer due to discrimination. Like, I don't understand why that's so hard for someone to get. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, to me, it seems to be like, it's got to be the most simple thing to understand, right? Especially not, when you have your own friend group. Well, think about it.
And okay, it's not that complicated. The thing is that people have more of a motivation to detach themselves from the logic, the simple logic that could take you from redlining to issues in housing that are currently affecting people.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean? Or politics and all those other things. Yeah, you know.
But that's my problem, Kev. And I've had this argument before. If you could celebrate the 4th of July and understand it's a historic effect, then you can understand other historic effect. You're choosing not to.
Yeah, right? Totally. Yeah, okay. It's easier not to. It's easier to ignore it. And then when something like, you know, efforts at diversity, equity, and inclusion come along, and it's now in some quarters a rule to be at least thoughtful about those aspects of our history, our collective history. Oftentimes a history that for the first time in some people's life doesn't include them directly, even though it does.
Sure.
They like to believe it doesn't include them directly, right?
Right.
That they find it very easy to detach from it, or in the worst case, you know, like a Ron DeSantis, just fight back against it because it makes them, you know, because they know that there are enough people out there who are going to side with them on that and think that you know, they're being defended, that their honor and their integrity is being defended. It's like, it doesn't really have anything to do with your honor and your integrity. We might be talking about your grandfather's honor and integrity or lack thereof. Yeah, that's up to you to find out. But, you know, you probably already know.
Yeah. So, well, you also nailed on the head, Kev, honestly. It's so much easier, and I'm going to use one race as an example, whatever, I use my own. Like, it's so much easier to just say you hate black people. Like, I don't understand why we go this long. You know what I'm saying? I wish that Elon Musk would just dumb out that he hates black people, right? Or whatever particular group. Like, collectively, I dislike black people. And just leave it at that. I know why he doesn't do it, right? But, you know, Dave Chappelle making the mistake of bringing you on stage doesn't hide very much when you started to expose yourself as who you truly were. The problem I still have, and I'm just going to kind of maintain this problem, is that what do you think I don't see you pretending? It's, you know, there's all these generalizations that allow you to pretend that you're good. Like people, oh, everybody's some type of racist or something. I'm like, no, everybody's not actually. That's not actually true. Not everybody is. That's been your excuse to act like who you are. But not everybody's tripping off at people like that. Some people will take you for face value until you prove yourself otherwise. You know what I'm saying? If you collectively get a group of you together to try to stop my progress, I'm going to look at your group. Now, would I look at your group racially? Nah, not anymore. I've had too many conversations. I have too much understanding now. But if your group was a group of rappers from Northridge, I might be like, yo, rappers from Northridge are assholes. You know what I'm saying? Right? I mean, and I wouldn't even mean that. I know that it's likely that it's just this group of people. I think it just doesn't take that long to connect one electron to the next in your brain or whatever, like, you know, one electron to fire to connect to the next and go, this can't be everybody. I'm having a disagreement with this person, not this entire group of people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. It's...
And, I mean, we're going to... I don't know that this conversation is going to... I think us, you and I having this conversation will evolve further from now until... as long as we're lucky enough to be here, as it has evolved since we met each other to now,
yes, I would imagine. Yes, it has. Right? Very much so. Very much so.
The thing, and I say that just to say that if we're going to speak specifically about racist, quote-unquote, white folks, mm-hmm. white men, I don't think that the conversation is going to change that much. Hopefully, you know, the numbers of people who are willing to just keep their mouth shut and listen to somebody who they're meeting for the first time to get to know, like, okay, yeah, there is another person who has in 5 minutes of conversation shown me that the stereotypes that my grandfather taught me was a bunch of bullshit. Maybe there's more, you know, maybe it's one person at a time, whatever it takes. But then the thing that ends up bugging me even more, and I would imagine it's the same for you, is when there's guys like this lieutenant governor who's running for governor in North Carolina, mm-hmm. black dude, who said some of the most hateful stuff.
Right.
And just utter garbage. And I think he believes it. That's the one thing I'll give him, is that I think he kind of, in a goofy way, believes the things that he's saying. Sure. And it's not just about race, but it's about, you know, women and so forth. But, you know, and then Donald Trump calls him Martin Luther King Jr. on steroids, which is the stupidest thing. What is that? So when stupid gets together with stupid, the results multiply exponentially into just this snowball of stupid. And that's the kind of thing that really, you know, is just like annoying to me.
I don't want to, remember the movie The Matrix? I feel like this might have been the message from The Matrix or whatever. And I know that movie was actually supposed to be stolen. But anyway, just going to the movie version I got to see. Where my man hopped out of The Matrix and turned his back on everybody. And he just wanted a real, you know, to taste the steak again, right? Like, he wanted to just to go back to being, like, I want to accept the lie. Mm-hmm. It's ultimately his thing, right? He was sick of fighting because it was more difficult to fight the Matrix than to be part of it.
Yep.
Right? That's where I see the Candace Owens of the world. And the, you know what I'm saying? At some point, it just becomes easier to join the Matrix than to fight against it. You know what I'm saying? And you feel like you don't have to fight anymore because you're on a side that's like, all right, fine, I'm just going to join them. You know what I mean? There were quite a few, enough black soldiers that fought for the Confederacy, right? They thought, you know, and there's a lot of nuance that's not discussed in that regard too. You know, some promises were made, some promises fulfilled, you know, whatever, right? But for some of the battles that we're fighting are simply just like, are some of the things that have turned my mind like differently on this subject, right? Like, I don't know if I attribute, and this is going, man, I'm about to catch some heat for this. I don't attribute racism to white people anymore.
Hmm.
In my world, is my mindset is different on racism, discrimination, etc. And more discrimination and bigotry. Like, now that's just an American word to me. Like, an American way of thinking is bigoted. You know what I'm saying? Not all people, right? Of course. But when we're talking racism on this show, I'm usually just making a very broad statement. I'm not normally talking about just white men. And maybe 2 years ago on Rap Sucks Radio. But now it's like, after seeing so many people discriminate or talk down about so many other people, I'm like, yo, y'all just bit the apple at this point. Like, this is, y'all want this. You know what I'm saying? Which is why I go back to, not specifically Rob Swift. Like, I've talked to him before. Like, I'm just saying he was the one. I'm not shooting the messenger here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying you cannot play that game. You think you can. Maybe, I'm not saying Rob specifically. I'm saying if this was his mindset. you think you can play that game, but you really can't because they're not really – people that think that way are not on your side. They're using your voice.
And
that's what Candace Owens doesn't seem to understand, right? That's what what's his name? I can't remember the dude's name. Sports analyst dude that decided or whatever that tried to make his bones on Kaepernick. They're using your voice, but they're not on your side. You know what I mean? And they proved it time and time again.
Yeah. You bring up a couple points. First of all, there were a significant number of white folks marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Sure.
With Martin Luther King. There were a significant number of white folks who were part of the activism.
Yeah, abolitionists,
that,
et cetera. Yeah.
That, you know, he helped to continue to drive forward. Without them, it's probably fair to say that the gains would not have been accelerated at the pace that they were, to whatever extent that they were. And that continues today. You know, they're obviously not all white folks are racist.
Sure. Absolutely not.
You know, and also there probably wouldn't be a lot of DEI talk and all this stuff if it weren't for, you know, white people saying, you know, we got to kind of deal with this, and, you know, along with everybody else saying, yeah, we do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The hard part, I'm sure, for them is that, at least for me, I can speak for myself, I'll continue to look at them and say, yeah, you got to keep going. I mean, you know, it's like, do you you're going to do half the job? No, you got to finish it. And finishing it is not something that I don't even know if I expect to see it in my lifetime. It would be great if we did, but no. And so that means you're going to keep working on this for the rest of your lifetime too. And you better make sure that your kids turn out halfway, you know, with at least some experience of the way you think, rather than being, you know, conditioned by somebody else's thinking. So it's going to go on, and it's not going to be easy. We're on the more challenging side of this equation. The easy side is, oh no, first of all, none of that ever happened. And even if it did, I don't want to talk about it now because it's easier not to talk about it. Well, no shit. But yeah. I didn't ask you. But when you bring up Candace Owens, I agree with you. However, I think she knows exactly what she's doing, unfortunately. I think she's a uniquely despicable, devious, condescending, hypocritical goofball.
Yeah.
Who
I agree
has generated an audience. That's the one thing I will give her, is I think she does appreciate the audience that she's garnered through the hateful things that she's said consistently for as long as she's been saying them, you know, all the way back to just after the NAACP advocated on behalf of her in that school issue that she had when she was a much younger person. Shortly after that, it seems like something took a left for her. And there are a few people like her. You know, there are certainly, you know, still a few really hardcore white nationalist people who I'm never going to have a really great conversation with about race. I put her pretty much in the same category as them. But I continue to believe that as much as I wish everybody was a little more open-minded, I'm still convinced that there are more people who I would agree with of all colors and backgrounds than people I would disagree with. And that's a good thing, you know, and hopefully those numbers continue to skew in the direction I would like them to.
Or people that simply just want civility.
Yeah, civility. The thing is, civility is fantastic, but to something that you said earlier, if you're not getting it, and mm-hmm. or if somebody's not getting what they consider to be civil treatment and they're willing to argue, discuss, or straight up fight for it, mm-hmm. Get out of their way.
I'm saying. I just think it's extremely interesting. And when I say civility, I mean like people who see that there are equity issues, right? People who see that racism as a one-on-one personal issue, bigotry, discrimination as a one-on-one personal issue, an argument you have at the grocery store or a mean word said from one car to the next is one thing, right? But in the legal system, it's a whole other, right? In a job market, it's a whole other, right? In a police officer's control of a situation, it's a whole other. So when we talk in that, we talk in reality. People often get very upset with me because I talk about narratives, right? Why do narratives matter? What are you talking? I'm like, well, narratives are how we got here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The ability to create a narrative about a group of people, generally, you know, or maybe starting with an individual, that's how we got here. Narratives are all of this is built on narratives. Black folks are lazy, right? The idea of the model minority. These are not things that you and I collectively and the group of people we come from, we didn't make those things up. You know what I'm saying? These are narratives that were presented that have followed and shared with other people. And now we all have to battle those narratives every time we go anywhere. You know what I mean? Or every time we're in a group of people, now we're fighting against the preliminary information someone was given or accepted before we get to just be Kev and Reg. You know what I mean? Now, with me, you could get rest assured that if you ever meet me in person, you shake my hand, you are who you are until you prove differently. Yo, what up? That's who you are. You're some dude or some chick that I shook hands with. Now, you come out and mention how deeply you love the Third Reich. Now I know. Okay, cool. That's you on that side, right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not voting for you in November.
Exactly. You have to know. Like, you know, you're not. I'm not your Martin Luther King on steroids. But I guess, and it sounds like such a simple message, but it's not, Kev. It's not. These narratives are carried forward before you present yourself, right? For example, you know, one of the things I hate the most, and we can wrap it up. We didn't even get to any of the topics, so we can change the subject or whatever, but change the title. But it's impossible for one individual to make an entire race look bad. That is just because you don't like that race of people or group of people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't, like, that's not human. Look, speaking from out there, 40 million black people in America. If you meet one black dude and say that black dude's making the race look bad. No, you already just didn't like the other 39 million, like, or whatever. Stop. You know what I'm saying? You cannot tell me that you can make an entire race look bad. But again, narratives. Narratives are how you buy into things like that. And all of a sudden, you have people who feel obligated to defend themselves, or they feel connected to a negative that one human being does, or, oh man, this song came out, I don't like the subject matter of this song, it's making me look bad. It's like, no, did you write the song? Did you did you rap? Did you sing this? Okay, then nah, it ain't on you, right? Like, I don't go into work being like, oh, yeah, my name is Too Short. I'm not Too Short. I'm, you know what I'm saying? You listen to that song, and then we having a meeting about you know, financing, and you like, I don't know if I'm going to listen to Reg because Too Short came out with Freaky Tail. That's on you. That's not on me. Like, you tripping. So, you know, again, how does one individual make an entire group look bad? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to deal with you differently because somebody else did something. I'm going to deal with you directly and react that way.
You know what I'm saying? And what you just said is one of the most probably the clearest case for DEI, people hate acronyms. People love acronyms and people hate acronyms.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, what it is to me, is if you only know one black guy, and you are stupid enough or simple-minded enough to allow that person to characterize the entire community of black folks in the country or in the world, there's a pretty decent chance that you're going to have the wrong impression of the larger community. It's, if you were, had half a brain, you'd probably understand that there's no way that that could possibly be, you know, sensible. And what DEI, at least, and I'm not a sociologist, obviously, but part of what it is to me is, let's get some of your more simple-minded employees around more people who don't look like them, who don't live the same lifestyle that they live, but who can do the job effectively, just so that, you know, we can have a little bit of an education and have a place in this community that goes beyond, you know, making and selling plungers or whatever the hell your business does. You know, it's like,
sure,
this is, you know, and I honestly do believe that more people, and there is a heavier burden on white folks to step outside whatever their comfort zone might be. It's, you know, let me be blunt. It's the fucking least you could do. I don't care who you are. I don't care how enlightened you are, whether you like thinking yourself as woke or whether you hate when other people think of themselves as woke. It ain't that bad. You still don't have to talk to anybody, but how silly is your life going to be? Like, just, I mean, you know, if you don't want to get to know somebody who doesn't live exactly like you, I mean, dude, you're kind of crazy.
Kev, this country has not ever been inclusive unless legally forced to.
Absolutely. Which,
bottom line,
I got to believe,
even using,
I know there are other countries, there are other countries that are more, seemingly, I think we'd like to think they're more enlightened. A lot of them are more homogeneous as far as the racial makeup,
sure,
right?
Yeah. Sure.
Which obviously makes, take some of these everyday concerns out of their, you know, everyday thinking. But yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, hey, listen, you guys brought the black folks here.
Oh, well, no. Stop there. You guys created an inequitable situation amongst every single outside individual, including Italians and Irish. You decided every step of the way to make sure to be as divisive as possible. And when it came to people who didn't have the same skin color or facial structure as you, you then decided to get downright brutal, disgusting, violent, and reckless. Mm-hmm. That's where the line is drawn. You were already willing to discriminate against your own people. You were already willing to use a caste system and use backgrounds and blase, blase, blah. You were already willing. But when you saw people that didn't look like you, you chose to treat them like animals. You made that decision. Listen to me very clearly. I'm not saying you as an individual, Bob or Brad or Joaquin or whomever. I'm saying that the reality is that is what happened. There could have been a situation. I've told you this on the show before. I understand. I'm well versed enough in American history to understand that there were indentured servants and there were black folks here before and blah, 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 blah. I understand that. Right? I'm well versed enough in history to understand that in spite of the emancipation of slaves, there was still quite a bit of brutality towards the natives of this country, right? But as a black man, the fix-it moment was emancipation. When you decided to still not give equal rights after freedom, you decided that going forward, every single inch was going to need to be fought for.
Yeah.
Period. Your founding fathers could have fixed this shit way back then. Yo, man, we effed up. We fought a war. That side lost. We won't allow any state laws to continue to oppress or suppress the people that we have now decided, after they fought for it, we decided, all right, battle well fought, y'all good. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't the case. Then you allowed state laws to come back and circumvent everything that you were attempting. Now, we can have a debate on what the you know, union was attempting to do in the federal government, blah, 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 blah. I'm all for that. But what I'm saying is you allow state laws to circumvent every single thing, action you were attempting to take to reunify this country. That's you. That's not anybody else. That's nobody Chinese, Japanese. That's nobody Native. That's nobody Black. That's nobody Mexican. That's nobody else but yo folks. Because everybody else was hands off. All right. We good. Let us build our homes and have part of this American dream that you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So you decided that. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, y'all decided that. We didn't decide
that's
that.
That's the one thing I was going to say. I agree 100%. And the issue is the you that you're talking about, a lot of them are going to be gone soon if they're not gone already.
Right.
But now there's this argument about should their children and grandchildren have an accurate accounting of what happened, how we got here, and what role their forefathers played in it.
Right.
So that, let's be serious, so that they won't do the same thing anymore. I'd like to believe that the young people are not going to do the same thing that their barbaric ancestors did.
Right.
They got to know.
In their mind, it's offensive to their, it makes them feel bad. Like I said, I've had conversations with two separate neighbors who said, it makes us, and I had to straighten them out. Like, yo, okay, what you think was happening to the Black student in your class when it was Black people hanging from trees, and how you think he felt? Mm-hmm. How you think she felt? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think was happening when every historic book you read had a slave that was able to be called, and y'all read it out loud in class? Like, what do you mean you felt bad? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also, you know, we're more intelligent now. We're more educated. Let's take a medical comparison. If you do 23andMe and you find out that the last five generations of males in your family died of high cholesterol and heart problems, but you're there eating cheeseburgers every day from McDonald's, after you find that out, chances are you're going to at least think about it the next time you reach for that cheeseburger. I'm not saying you're going to change your life, but you're going to think about maybe you should.
Yep. Yep.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
That's up to you whether or not you change your habits. But you're at least smart enough to know that it should give you pause. Sure. If you know that there's a history of this specific health problem, whether it be heart disease or diabetes or whatever, you might want to be careful with that, right?
Yeah.
You should be a lot more careful about this.
Sure.
Because a cheeseburger is not going to listen to you and then slap the shit out of you in front of your children. But somebody will.
Right.
Somebody who you say that dumb shit to will.
Right.
I'm not condoning that. But somebody's going to do it if you keep talking that old.
It's more likely to happen.
You're making me feel bad. It's like, well, the way you can stop feeling bad is to make sure that it don't happen anymore.
It ain't gonna happen
by you eating the cheeseburger quietly,
right?
Or going behind closed doors and eating the cheeseburger. You know, yeah. it's like you're still, if you're still continuing the bad habit or the bad practice or the bad way of thinking or the, you know, unhealthy way of thinking, unhealthy results are going to come to you.
Sure.
You know,
bottom line.
And unfortunately, a lot of people understand that. I'm not talking to them, but unfortunately, yeah, quite a few people don't get it.
Nope.
You know, they've now gone so far as to fool themselves into believing that they are the aggrieved, victimized party in this equation, which is, yep, you know, sickening.
It is. It's disgusting. All right, look. Yeah, unexpected show, but we will carry on. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. This has been Rap Sucks Radio. I am your homeboy, Track Life. That dude over there is your fam, Kev Sakota.
That's right.
Do better.
Yeah.
Do better, y'all.
Try harder.
Try harder. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
We out of here like last year, man. Catch us on rapsucksradio.com, at rapsucksradio on Instagram, at rapsucksradio on Threads, and RSR Podcast on Facebook. We also have a Patreon that I'm building, so we'll figure out how that works and what we can do with that for y'all, because we've never monetized this show. Not that makes us saints or whatever. I'm just saying we haven't. But, you know, we got some old head energy coffee mugs and things of that nature to get started. So we will holler at y'all next time, man, on the count of, we out of here like last year, on the count of three, we say peace. One, two, three.
Peace.
We out, y'all.
You make that OnlyFans yet or no?
No, not yet. But, okay, you know, it's on the way.
Taste.
You can watch me be.
It'll be tasteful.
You can watch me be sick on camera. All right, peace.
Tonsil picks. Ha ha ha.